Nah, Nintendo gonna.
See, this is what happens when you try to be messy. You try to be play foolish games, you win foolish prizes. You know my ADHD gonna pick up what you putting down and start Nintendo playing gonna along. Be like, what?
You ain't hear about that guy Nintendo sued and like he gotta pay them like $500 a month for the rest of his like natural life.
Nah, nah, but I heard about Hasbro sending SWAT to somebody's house pretty much.
No, what is going on? Disney's taking on the radical government. It's been a crazy week.
Yo, it was like Don Lemon fired, Tucker Carlson fired, and it's not even 5 p.m. on a Monday.
Whoa.
This entire week has been the this entire week has been the Mr. Krabs meme. Just what's happening?
Shake, Sonora, shake your body, fam. Work, Sonora, work it all the time.
Here on Black Girl Charm, you get the sign of the cross and a little twerk. When our sister when our sister lived with me, well, when we lived together, I should say, because we would always twerk to "Our God is an awesome God."
That's a great song to drop it when they change like the shifts, the tone.
Yeah. Me and her would just start singing it and just start. He reigns on heaven. Not religious by any means, but.
That hit right there. That be hitting. Didn't they like do something on TikTok where they added like a beat to it? Because I definitely remember that. Because I definitely remember like not caring about what was happening in the TikTok, but definitely twerking. To "Our God was an awesome God." Oh, wait, can I just say that bitch is finally rotting in hell? That's been a good part of the week.
Is it an open funeral? Because I got some peeing to do.
They can't have an open funeral. I'm surprised.
I know Black people don't play like this, but bitch, I would have the illest cookout on her grave.
The illest.
You know what?
Maybe they're gonna like.
It'll be a NOLA style cookout on her grave. Yo. With a whole band and everything. Yo.
That bitch is rotten. If there is a Tartarus,
I want her to have a good millennia in purgatory, but not like the good purgatory.
Like the supernatural purgatory?
Yes. A millennia there, then you can take your ass to hell, you raggedy dumb bitch. Ooh. Mm. When a Libra is through with you, just be away. Just go away. Because ain't a wrath like a Libra scorned.
Did I tell you I bought a new book of spells? And when I bought it from the bookshop, she was like, "You're going to like this book of spells." And I was like, "Well, there's a reason why I picked it up, but tell me why I'm going to like this book of spells." She said, "I bought the other copy, and it's one of those book of spells where you don't have to find these random things or these random flowers. It's stuff that you have in your house." And I was like, "Yes, ma'am. That is exactly why I bought it. I have picked up what you have put down."
What's funny is I legitimately have flowers all over this house because I buy flowers every week. And it's just like, ooh, if I really put my mind to it, I got some clove. I got some incense.
I got some charcoal. We could do a nice spell, but you don't be wanting to do it. We could do a nice one.
I have Loki magic and... this is why I don't be always dabbling in the spells.
Right, which is why we have a spell that's not chaotic. And we have, see, I need you on meds so that we can own. Girl, my meds are on national back order.
Oh, damn.
My backup meds are on national back order. Damn. And I just started a new role and I am struggling.
Nah, I just like I said, I just have Loki magic, and I be putting stuff out there, and it just like comically comes back to me. And while it is comical, it is chaotic.
Well, I'm gonna look through and see if there's anything that we can hone in your chaos. How was your week?
My week has been been yes. We launched a new show.
Can you say that?
Hooray. Yeah, I can say that. We launched a new show actually yesterday, but the site's been live for about a week. So we've just been like cleaning it up and just being like, all over the place. We have new shows opening in May, which is like tomorrow. So I was like, oh,
that's crazy.
April was like, hi, bye-bye. Whatever. Wow. Anyway, 6 minutes in, and I haven't even officially branded the call. Ugh, what's wrong with me? I'm gonna go in coaching and get yelled at. That is a reference for
yes.
That is a reference yes. for like a significant few people. But if you have worked in customer service, you know what I'm talking about. It may not be that verbiage, but you know exactly what I just said. Hey, everybody. Welcome to a new episode of Black Girl Charm. I am your sick co-host, Ray, joined by my co-host, who's healthy.
This week, I'm typically not. So I don't want to hear anything, okay?
Joe brought home a bug, and it took me down at 8. Like, I woke up in the morning with a scratchy throat, but my body was fine, wasn't aching. By 8 p.m., that bitch had a beat in my ass.
Aww.
Oh, my God. I
Can
flew
you
up.
Woo, woo, woo?
It was like, you know when you get so drunk that you start throwing up, and you're just like, oh, God, I will never ever drink like this again.
Are we referring to the NOLA drunk when I was yes. like, hospital, take me?
Yes, but like, also like when I was drunk in NOLA, I was throwing up water at a certain point, and that's Jesus. What I was at 5 o'clock this morning, hanging off the side of my bed, just being like, there's nothing in me, please, you don't have to do this. You don't have to do this.
Puke on his pillow.
No, I had a bucket.
Puke on his pillow.
No.
Well, besides throwing up, what else have you been up to this week?
You know what? I started watching American Auto. Ashley Ray talks about it all the time. So I was like, let me give it a chance. And it's dark. It's dark as fuck.
I tried watching the first episode, and I did not crack a laugh, a smile. I was disappointed.
And this is where me and you depart. Because when they found that child in the back seat, I laughed so damn hard.
It just didn't do it.
You know, I was like, what an indictment on America.
my car. So you know how we upgraded? Because like, I don't even want to say it's an upgrade because I miss Raven. Like, I miss my little sports car. But my new SUV, when you turn it off, it says, please check rear. And I was like, damn.
Oh my God. When they had to put out articles like top 10 ways to not forget your child in the back seat, and number one was like, put your cell phone in the back seat.
Right. Put something that you will miss if you forget it. Like your child. Your child. You will miss your child. Bro. As a mom, I don't understand it. There's been one time where I was on autopilot and I missed the exit for the daycare. We had just moved, so I had missed the exit. But it wasn't a situation where it was like, oh, there is no child. And have I forgotten his lunch? Yes. But I don't forget like this whole ass thing that I have pushed out of my body.
And I feel that like Aiden talk a lot. Aiden, especially when he was younger, he was always in somebody's business. He always had something to say.
And he always still in somebody's business. And he got a smart ass mouth. And Jamel be like, you can't go down to his level. He said something slick to me today. And I was like, see? And then when I say something back, you're going to go tell your dad that I hurt your feelings. You don't want to play these games with me.
He has been telling you, you can't stoop to his level since.
He had to sit both of us down and be like, you are the parent. You are the adult. Do you hear the way that you two are arguing back and forth?
Like, you two argue like brother and sister. And it is quite comical because obviously you're mother and son. But like, you two are the embodiment of that TikTok sound. Yes, you do.
He be irking my last nerve, bro. My last nerve. Like, he just be saying stuff, and then my mouth just say stuff back. And he be like, he hurt my feelings. But you started it. Like, you wanted to rumble with the bee. And I was like, see, but there's no rumbling because you're the adult and you should know better. Nah. When they go to school.
We believe in gentle parenting. And like, let's be honest, you are a New Yorker. That baby's a Connecticut at heart.
Right. He is. It's nutmegger. That is what it's called. A nutmegger. That child is soft. And he be trying to act all hard and then be mad soft for no reason. Like, man, I had time to Night, man up, bro.
I miss having like a whole gang of cousins. So like that, like real black family time ish of well, like, see,
you should move down here and then give me a baby.
You see how you always at work. Somebody had like asked me like the likelihood of something happening, and I was like, yeah, that's like the likelihood of me becoming a mom. And they were just like, what is wrong with the black girls in our office? What is because like the black girls in the office have absolutely no filter, and I just feel that like it is the first time that we all have been like in this environment together, and our like, oh, y'all want black? We'll give you black.
Y'all asked for diversity? Well, here it is. See, and that's why they try to get rid of D&I stuff now. So besides causing chaos, I feel like, look, your whole week has been chaotic. I'm saying besides causing chaos at home and at work, and what else have you been up to?
Well, I have started watching couples therapy because of you.
Girl,
you should have never put that in my vision. I am one of these.
What kind of white lighter shit is that?
Bro, this is when I knew this man is a villain. Like, I wish nothing but the worst for Sean. I wish I knew his last name. Leo. Yo, I wish every time this man about to put it in, when he's about to knock on that heavenly door, he gets visited by the melty man, because he is the absolute worst.
Oh my God.
Yo.
Oh my God.
He all literally... Right,
right. Don't say nothing. I'm going to watch it tomorrow. I go watch it tomorrow when the baby goes sleep.
Yo.
We gonna move on because you stressed out. What else?
From day one, the therapist was like, I'm gonna beat his ass.
She don't know why she was too through on the TikTok. She was like, are you trying to gaslight me? The therapist?
Yo, I don't even know what day that is. I went back to day one, and he was like, let me just give you a snippet of this man, of the type of person you're dealing with. I'm the type of person who looks from things from what I did wrong first. Let me see where I fucked up. I look at it from both sides. No, you don't. No, you don't. You are a manipulator. That is a manipulator. That's how manipulators talk. Oh, my wife is an angry person. Ooh, you call that black woman angry too? Oh, I hate him. I hate him so much. But speaking of hate, you're back on the Fire Emblem.
Yeah, I picked up. So there's two Fire Emblems. There's one that's like RPG style, which is the mm-hmm. first one I play. And then after they release that, they do one that's Warriors. And so it's hack and slash. And mm-hmm. so I've been playing that. So it's going kind of slow. They also released this cozy game that came out that I've been eyeing for the last 2 months called Mail Time. And I might put that down. I have so much on my backlog. They released Coffee Shop 2, and that's on Xbox. See, Coffee Shop 2 is what you play when you're trying to fall asleep and you can't. And you put that on, and it's a visual narrative, and it's super cute. And if you have Xbox Game Pass, Coffee Shop 1 and 2 are on there. So there you go. There goes your, what is it, your cheap cozy game of the week.
Before we jump into the episode, you just reminded me, listeners, hit us up on like the Instagrams as well as the TikTokies. I am going on a road trip with my coworkers, so I'm going to need music.
When are you Send going on a road playlist. Trip?
I will be... We'll offline about this. I need to add you to my Google Calendar, baby. That's where everything gets updated.
Okay. Send over your Google Calendar. I don't think I have Google. I'll download it. Send over your Google
Calendar. You're an Outlooker. Gosh.
Well, actually, I'm an iPhone calendar on my regular phone.
Then I'll put it on your iPhone calendar.
Okay, that's fine.
But yeah, I'm going
on a trip. And
I'm
babysitting too. Let me can't take that.
I'm going on a road trip with coworkers, and I'm going to need music
for work. Okay.
So yeah, I'm going to need music. So send me playlists, send me artists, send me things. I'm also going to go through your list of cozy games and run that through. I'm charging up my Switch, and we just gonna power through.
There's so many. I will send you. The Mail Time just came out. I do believe. So guys, not only do I have a Switch, but I also have a gaming PC. And then everybody in the house games. So we have a lot of stuff. So I will find, I believe Mail Time is for the Switch. I will send you. I just sent it to our other sister. There's a list of cozy games that came out for the year. You let me know. I'll pick up what you put down. We will figure this out.
Yo, I'm trying to disassociate with the best of them.
Oh my gosh. Besides that, I've read like 15 pages, but I am starting to read The House in the Cerulean Sea by T.J. Klune. I cannot tell you what it is about. The cover was really pretty.
Mm-hmm. All right. Getting into this episode, we are on season 2, episode 19, Ex Libris. The original air date was April 27, 2000. So I feel like we back on track, baby. We back on track. We almost there. We're thinking up. The writers this week are Brad and Peter Chomsky. And by Brad, I mean Brad Kern. This is Peter's only writing credit. He has 24 producing credits. You know what? He wrote a very quick episode, and I thank him for that. The director today was Joel J. Feinenbaum. He has 8 directorial credits, including Seventh Heaven, Touched by an Angel, and Melrose Place. The guest stars this week are Peggy Stewart. She played Lillian. She has 168 credits, including Community, Justified, and Weeds. Scott Lincoln played Libris. He was unaccredited for his role, but has 60 total acting credits, including Pretty Little Liars, Glee, and Criminal Minds. Clevant Derricks played Clevant Wilson, 39 total credits, including The Practice Sliders and The Bernie Mac Show. Rebecca Cross played Charlene. She actually plays two Charm characters, and we see her again in season 3, episode 6, Primrose Empath, as an unaccredited waitress. So there's that. She's also been on Seventh Heaven and The Pretender. Jeremy Roberts. Yeah. Jeremy Roberts played Gibbs. Also another uncredited actor, but 114 credits in total, including Veronica Mars, Cold Case, and Without a Trace. Wow. And last, but certainly and absolutely not least, the Goo Goo Dolls!
Ah! So, Dizzy
Broadway Up the Girl is dark tonight.
Dizzy Up the Girl is my favorite, one of my favorite albums. Mm-hmm. My favorite Goo Goo Doll albums. I used to have Black Balloon as my voicemail. Mm. So first you would of all, call. Mm.
Oh, the way that man said baby's back balloon. Oh. I was like, ooh.
And I play this album at least once a month since the 90s. Okay. I have owned it in tape form. I've owned it in CD form. I'm trying to get the vinyl. Do not play with me when it comes. That is, and can I say this? The shots that were taken when they did Broadway is Dark Tonight and they had Leo come down, I was like, all right, y'all are mad disrespectful. When we get to that scene, I have the lyrics pulled up because when they zoomed in to Resnick and he was singing, I was like, y'all are mad disrespectful when it comes to this gaslighter.
But I am waiting impatiently for the Goo Goo Dolls Broadway production. I will be there. Opening day, like you have. This is me putting it out in the atmosphere, not me like confirming something. I see your face.
I was like, this is how you tell me. You know, they're actually on tour, so they're on tour and they're on tour with, oh god, I can't think of his name now, but he sings. It doesn't matter. But they're on tour and it's on like a Tuesday in Charlotte and I'm so upset.
Bruh. When I tell you my travel schedule, you're going to be like, what even is this? Anyway, back into this episode.
You have the weekend of June 17th and July 20th scratched off because a shot will stab you in the eye.
All right, we will talk. Anyway, this episode, the trivia for this episode.
Wait, we didn't do the thingy.
What thingy?
I'm gonna keep you on track. We didn't do the back.
What?
The summaries.
No, I do trivia before summaries. Yeah.
Oh. See, I'm not keeping you on track. My bad.
This episode reveals Leo died in battle during World War II while trying to patch up a wounded soldier. He wasn't even good at that.
Well, she said that his hands were nice and he had a good touch. And I was like, oh!
Good touch, bad touch. I don't give a fuck.
You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals. So let's do it like they do on the disc. No, we got.
How did we get here? Anyway, this is the first and last episode where a ghost is seen having to exact justice for another person's murder to move on. Because this made no fucking sense. Nope. In the grand scheme of things, in the supernatural of it all, it made no sense. Lillian mentions that Leo appeared to her in a dream and told her not to worry and that someone else was there for her. This suggests that Leo may have either gone to her in a dream or orb to her. She recalls it as a dream. And I'm assuming it is exactly like what happened when Piper died.
Yep.
And he was just like, hey, yo, bitch, find somebody else. I'm out. Bye. He didn't love that girl. He did not love her at all. And you know what? It was World War II. Why would he? Anyway, what are your initial thoughts?
My initial thoughts was that this man's a gaslighter. I miss Trent Reznor's old face.
I am sick and I sound like it.
This episode was, I mean, it didn't, oh, on top of it, like the ending, not like the way it connected, not making any sense. Can I just say, like, Cleophas? Like, I know that's not his name, but seriously, his name is, it's Clavant, but I will be calling him Cleophas throughout this entire episode.
His government name is Clevant Derricks, and he played Clevant Wilson. I don't know what you're confused about. That's his name.
I do not care. It just reminded me of, like, do you remember being in, like, junior high and doing, like, the coming home from church and having those Sunday episodes about something in Black History Month?
And, like, oh, my God. Yes.
See how it's
you unlocked a memory. Like, I know we were singing My God is an Awesome God earlier, but you unlocked a whole other memory.
Let me finish. And the Black guy always had a nice, like, S curl or Jerry curl, and the white woman always came to his defense. That's what this episode felt like. I felt like I was coming home from church. I was just like, I don't care what his name is. Change his name, Cleophas, Clavant. Come on, get out of here. I'm done.
It's going to be Ex Libris, aka the Holy Hour. Oh,
wait in the water.
I should have thought of this episode water, being like, children. Pleasant evening, congregation. My name is Sister Ray, and welcome to Black Girl Charmed.
Welcome to Black Girl Charmed.
Oh, God.
I should join now.
I'm sick, and you letting me take you down a dangerous path. I just wanted to know why, why on God's green earth, these people were not like, who was uncredited? The demon was uncredited? Like, you're not gonna give the demon a credit?
I mean,
he had puppet hands, but like, he had puppet hands, but he was still a demon nonetheless. He deserved a credit. And then, like, oh, so, I mean, it's, I was about to make it real dark, but, like, so, Jeremy Roberts don't deserve her credit? He killed that Black girl, and he don't deserve her credit? Come on, now.
Guy Fieri? Guy Fieri? Yo, my notes are wild, okay? Wild.
Hood. Just give a whole other meaning to diners. Yo, I'm not giving two by Food Network. I'm not. AKA, they almost get sued during the holy hour. Okay, so the Peacock synopsis is, Phoebe helps the ghost of Charlene, a student killed by Libris. Who the fuck are, who are they? I don't know. Why do I give a fuck? Why do I give a fuck?
I know who they were and I didn't give a fuck, so.
The IMDb is, Phoebe helps the ghost of a student who was killed to prevent the publication of her thesis on evil. The Google Dolls perform at Piper's Nightclub. Phoebe
helps. That was the best part.
Phoebe helps the ghost of Charlene, a student killed by Libris. I don't know why they put it twice, but whatever.
Justin, they didn't want you to focus on the Google Doc. That's what I was like, I can power through this episode because of the Google Doc.
I am so happy that by the time we got to One Tree Hill, we actually had full We had multiple musical segments. And the fact that you gave us like this little spittle of the Goo Goo Dolls, being like, here, this is all we can afford with your greedy ass. Like, if this was One Tree Hill, we would have gotten two songs and like an interaction with the cast.
But you wouldn't have gotten gaslit by a white lighter.
I'd have gotten gaslit by Lucas Scott. Anyway, the DVD synopsis is Phoebe tries to help the ghost of a former student who was killed by a demon wanting to stop the publication of the student's thesis proving the existence of evil. After the credits, I had Never Fall by the Love Hammers, and you had January Friend by the Goo Goo Dolls. I'll give it to Peacock. They try to find somebody that sounded a little like the Goo Goo Dolls. Like, if you wasn't paying attention, you'd be like, oh, I know this is a Goo Goo Doll song. And then when you, like, Shazam it, it's like, oh. All right. Take us through this episode.
Okay. So we open up with Piper being in the manor, and she's setting up for a romantic night with her boo Leo.
Pause. Why do they need to have sex in the common area? Why was she setting up sex in the common area?
I think she was just setting the scene. Because
in the common area.
But if this was Dan, she would just want to dance. Okay. So Prue walks in. And was like, oh shit, I thought that this was supposed to happen tomorrow. But of course, Leo, as usual, is late, so he had not arrived yet. And so she's asking Piper's opinion about these photos that she had taken for the magazine. And in this photo, it's the same black man over and over and over again. And this bitch got the nerve to be like, maybe he's homeless. And I was like,
late.
But why?
Problematic of the 90s, it's houseless now.
Right. I was just like, okay, Piper, whatever.
And second of all, she didn't give a fuck. She really didn't care. She was like, why are you bitches in my face? Yeah.
Right. And so Prue is like, no, I don't think that he's homeless because he looks sad and determined. And that's going to come up obviously later. What Leo orbs and Prue is like, oh, I'm gonna be quiet in the basement. In the basement, I'm going to be quiet. But before that happens, Piper is like, are you going to sign our dad's birthday card? And Prue was like, bitch, no, absolutely not. And that's when I knew that this episode was going to have multiple layers of daddy issues. Because anytime they bring up their father, there's always plot B or C
that has to do with daddy issues.
No. Mm-mm. So he orbs in, they start making out, and she's like, well, since Prue is downstairs, let's just go upstairs and
proving
do
that
the
point
deed.
That they were about to fuck in the common area. Like, why would you bust it? Like, what sense does it make to have your legs propped up, spread eagle, only for Phoebe to walk the fuck in? Take that shit to your room to begin with, you nasty bitch.
You know what's crazy is that young me used to love a golden retriever boy. Like, I loved Leo. And that's I still think he's very attractive. But, like, it could have been Dan. And then later on in the episode, I was like, this is what you gave up?
Is this your king? Yo. Yo, it don't make no sense.
We're at the library with Phoebe, and she's being obnoxious and annoying. She's like, you can hear her like streak the highlighter across the book. She's like chomping on food. And I was like, why are you this way?
Why are you this way? Like, this is why when I was in college, I would just gather all my stuff and find a corner, a little corner in my mind.
I used to book out the entire. Now you could book out rooms. I would book out the room. I'm not dealing with that shit. Mm-mm. So next to her is a girl named Charlene Hughes at the next table. And she's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And she's like, no, I'm eating too. And then they're just shopping together. And so I automatically don't like Charlene either, because y'all two are not the only people in the library. And shut the fuck, like, why are y'all talking so loud? Shut up.
How late is it too? I will give them like, because rest in peace, when Logan worked at the library, if it was like 10 o'clock, then it's a little, you know, you have a little bit more fun.
But they're like people walking around, so they weren't the only ones in the library. So have some.
It's probably some right. It's like maybe like 8, 9. Yeah.
So we find out that them two were in the same metaphysics class. They used to carpool together.
How y'all don't recognize each other from the carpool lane?
Because Charlene probably disassociated because it was Phoebe and probably pulled out her Nintendo Game Boy and was playing Pokemon, okay?
this doesn't make no sense. It was written by men. It was directed by men. Because women would have been like, hey, Charlene! Look.
Charlene probably was like, I hope. Now I gotta say something to her. Oh, yeah, that's right. We in the same class together. And this part makes no sense to me. She's such, like, my notes literally say Phoebe is a fucking weirdo. So they're talking about the class, and Charlene is like, yeah, I'm writing a thesis on demons. I have proof that demons exist. And Phoebe gets mad uncomfortable. Just have a conversation.
This is your time to shine. This is your time to shine, baby. Because, like, how many episodes ago you were like, this is how you say the spell. You would never say a spell like this. This is how you would do it. Now it's just like, oh, you don't want to know about witches. You want to know about demons. Oh, oh my. Girl, she even said, like, you talk about it in class. Like, you're not low about it. So why now would you want to be like, oh.
Because she's Phoebe.
You're right.
So Phoebe ends up leaving, and Charlene starts to go to the library shelves, and she starts looking for a specific book. But the way she was like, why is she doing that? She's like caressing the shelves. She's like touching them one by one. And she's like, oh, here's the book. Here it is. And then she starts to hear like whispers around her. And she looks and she doesn't see anything. And I'm like, you just said that you got proof that demons exist. And now you're hearing some demonic shit and that don't. Nothing?
No. Why would it?
So she pulls it out and there's a demon on the other side. And she like is alarmed and jumps back. And he tells her to wait. And then he gets all like shimmery and then pulls her into the vortex. And I was like, bye, Charlene.
Bye, Rocco.
So now we are back at the manor and Prue goes into the bathroom. There is somebody clearly in the shower. And she don't care. And I don't know. I've always kind of been about my privacy growing up. Like, y'all are three sisters. Doesn't Prue have her own bathroom? We established that in season one, why she's using the main bathroom. And she's having a full conversation with Piper about Cleophas. I know his name is Clavant, but it's going to be Cleophas.
You're so racist.
So as she's having the... And the weird thing is, He didn't say nothing.
Like, it's not like it's in today's day and age where everybody has a phone in their hand and you're like scrolling on like YouTube or whatever. Like, she's loud. And it's not even like you're singing. He's just standing, he's in the shower. And then just waits for like, he doesn't say anything until he hears Piper, which is weird. Like, he got a little freak in him, and I don't mean that in a good way. He
positioned the shower curtains wide because she comments on his orbs. And I was like, that's why Dan got left. That's why she couldn't stop thinking about Leo.
But it's also very weird that you are
ogling your sister's boyfriend's ball.
And it's very weird that, again, like, this isn't me kink shaming or yucking anyone's yum. I just don't think it's normal.
It was written by like, men. That's what men think that we do.
But like,
not cleaned up in the writer's room at all.
Do we not like I'm not busting it open in the living room.
I'm going to take that back, because how many TikToks have we seen where it be like, my sister stole my man? So, you know what? Maybe it's not. But like I said, like I said last week, I think Prue looks amazing with Dan.
They would be such, she should have had Dan. She should have, yo.
So Piper ends up shooing her out the door. And then we see that Phoebe has fallen asleep at the table, at the kitchen table, in her book. Mm-hmm. And the Piper wakes her up and she jumps up. She's like, oh my God, it's 8 o'clock. I'm late for my final. And her final is tomorrow. You find out that today's Thursday and she hasn't really been doing well in class because of everything that's happening in her magical world. She has to take the final for her to pass her class. As they're talking about
the silly, goofy moon.
As they're talking about the fact that her final is tomorrow, Phoebe brings up the fact that, well, Phoebe asks Leo if it's possible to prove that demons exist. And Leo says, well, any mortal that has proved, demons are going to knock them right out because they don't want them to have that information. So evil has a way of covering its tracks. And Phoebe goes,
the perfect time to say, and good magic also has a way of doing that too. Because again, like I said, yes, last week, the cleaners in season 7 or whatever.
Right. Right. So Piper brings up the card about their dad, and Phoebe also refuses to sign their father's birthday card and goes back to the library. And apparently it's only Piper that's been signing these cards, but he never sends them any back. And what bothered me in this scene, not so much, because we already know that her dad's a bum bitch, but she asked Leo, were you close to your dad? And instead of answering, he was like, oh, that was a long time ago. That's not weird to you?
I got into this with Joe earlier, and I was like, I'm saving it for the pod. When we get there, I will say it.
Okay. Then Piper's like, hey, you know, if they don't jing-a-ling-ling you, you should come over to the club and I'll buy you lunch. And I was just like, girl, this man, he just signs.
Well, he even says it. Well, you're going to have to, because a white lady's salary isn't that good, because you don't have no money.
So Prue goes back to the scene where she saw the black guy, and he's sitting on like a bench stool, which is probably why that homegirl thought, because you know LA got an unhoused problem, and she was like, oh look, a black man on a bench, he is unhoused. I was just, okay. But she goes back, she introduces herself, and she finds out that this guy is Cleavant Wilson, and he gives her a flyer. We find out the reason why he's in all these pictures is because his daughter was murdered, and he is trying to get somebody to be a witness, because everybody in this town know who has done it. The fact that he is sitting across the street from his daughter's murderer, like when I say a two-piece in the back of this man's head, like I don't know. Because I'm already mentally unstable. I don't know if I can sit there across the street from somebody who took my child away from me and not try to kill him. Like, that don't make no sense. And apparently this...
He owns the block.
It has scared the entire neighborhood in silence. And then when they zoomed in on Gibbs, I was like, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
When you said that he reminded you, like this storyline reminded you of those shows after church. Ooh, you describing it right now sounds just like it.
Right, right. Because he's like,
so the Cleavant ain't been the same since his daughter died.
Even when he's talking to Prue is like, oh, you must have really loved your daughter. And he's like, you know, it's my daughter. You can't get any closer. He's like,
yes, it's my child. The fuck?
But then in the background, they're playing like church music. And I was like, y'all are unhinged.
They wanted to do a black episode without doing a black episode.
Like, all they needed was the organ. That's all they needed.
All we needed was to see Max pop up one more time. Like, Prue, what you doing here? How do you know Brother Cleavon?
That's why we never see him again. They were like, you know why diversity calls for one Negro. We already have Daryl.
Yo, that would have been, a better episode. Max pop up, trying to save Brother Cleavon, but don't know how. And he asks for help.
We see Brother Cleavon grieving at church.
Yes! And Max comes to prove for help, being like, hey, I know you guys helped me out, and I want to help him out. And they do the team up together.
The scene opens up with them having hands on Brother Cleavon's shoulders and his, yes! and his head in oil.
And it's not Eric Camden, but it's like the Black Reverend from Seventh Heaven. Yeah!
Sometimes you take things too far. Too far.
I said it was the Black Reverend from Seventh Heaven. Because you know that man gave you Reverend face.
I'm moving right to the next scene. We go to P3 and Dan is whooping
ass. Yo. And
first of all,
man didn't have hands in World War II because that's how he died, and he ain't got hands in the afterlife. This man's a sucker. He ain't got no money. He ain't got no hands. All he do is fuck good. That's all he's worth. And let's be honest, you can freeze anybody, Piper. You can freeze literally anyone.
Dan had that man against the wall and was getting ready to cold cock him. That man would have been on the floor, knocked out.
This is how I know he can't fight, because he was begging Piper, like, you really gonna let him hit me?
Let me get into it. So she freezes him, and she's trying to get an explanation on why they're fighting. He's like, I don't know. We just came in here. I went to go meet you, and he just came in here, and we just started brawling. And she's like,
That don't sound right.
You need to slide back in so I can unfreeze Dan. And that's when he was like, really? Really? And then when she unfreezes Dan, that gives Leo enough time to like slide to the left. And Dan hits his hand on the wall. And I felt so bad. He needed to be punching the freaking jawbone. I was ready for it. Dan tackled him to the bar. I was like, you telling me?
I know Dan was tossing that bitch all up and through that bedroom, and she gave it up for Leo. What a dumb hoe.
She was coming over for their birthday, for their breakfast, their breakfast date, he was grabbing her at the door and throwing her over his shoulder. You jade me, Tarzan. I'm so mad.
You know, when you like knock on the door and you're not paying attention, you're just like waiting for them to do. And he just swing that door open and then grab your ass. Ooh! That's what he was doing to Piper.
So Dan don't
got no door to do that.
Dan don't say nothing. Dan leaves. And Leo, when she tries to press Leo hears a jingling ling ling. And he leave too. And I was like, I feel like the elders are part of the Molly scheme. I'm 100%.
1,000%.
So Phoebe goes to the library and there is a scene. Daryl is like over a body and the body is covered up in a white sheet. And Daryl turns around because Phoebe calls him and he looks at her like, not you, bitch.
He was like,
today.
I mean, when I saw she was decapitated, I kind of figured it was something supernatural, but I really didn't want it to be something supernatural. But here your ass come.
He looked so annoyed. And she's like, I'm actually not here for the decapitated body. It is not warlocks. It is not demons. I actually go to school. And he looked so unimpressed. Like, okay, bitch, sure you do. Sure you do.
He knew she go to school. He was like, sure. The decapitated shorty ain't got nothing to do with you. Sure. All right. Take your ass to class then. I'll see you in 2 hours.
Which is exactly what she did. When she goes into the library and she sees Charlene's ghost and Charlene doesn't realize that she's dead. And they're having a full-on conversation. Again, she's not whispering. She's dumbass loud. Nobody in the library is like,
no, that black lady looking at her like...
Later. That was later. That wasn't this scene yet. That was later. But, like, nobody in the... And you know what? Phoebe probably has a reputation for being weird.
It's finals week. You know people be breaking around finals. People do be talking around... Like, oh, damn. The study and the broker. Okay.
So a librarian pushes a cart of books through Charlene, and that kind of emphasizes the fact that she is dead and a ghost.
They were hammering at home with, like, oh, I just have this splitting headache.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not the time to be punny. This is not the time or the place.
But on top of that, she's like, oh, I have a splitting headache, but she rubs the back of her neck. And I was like, see, that's why you decapitated, because you don't know where your head and your neck is. That's why you decapitated. Prue ends up going to Daryl, and Daryl's like, see, I knew it, bitch. I knew it. You're here for your sister. I told that bitch it was a demon. I told that bitch it was a warlock. That's why you're here. And she was like, what are you talking about? She was like, no, I need you to help me with Guy Fieri. He was like, I can't. He was like, we know who did it, but I just can't do anything because nobody will talk. And Prue was like, that's what you're going to do? You're just going to just not do anything? And I was like, Prue, he's a cop. What do you expect?
This isn't like, what do you expect?
Piper is cleaning up the mess that Dan left behind after fucking up Leo at P3. There are glasses and just shit all thrown around the bar. Springer.
He would have had a field day with this.
They should have had, like, did they ever do like a magical Jerry Springer episode? That would have been done.
No, we got Nancy O'Dell.
So Phoebe also arrives at P3 and they're swapping stories. Phoebe's telling her about Charlene. Piper is like, I don't know what the fuck got into Dan and Leo, and neither one would tell me anything. And Phoebe's like, well, let's trade. You take my ghost, and I'll take your issues. So now we're trying to figure out, well, what proof did Charlene have that they wanted to chop her head off about? And then how do you tell someone that their life is over? And I kind of felt bad for Charlene, dear. It's just like, you got Phoebe on the case, girl.
Right.
So now we see our girl Piper outside of P3, and she is putting up the album covers on her thing, letting everybody know that Google Dolls is on Saturday. We're going to have a party. And Dan shows up. He finally admits that, yeah, I started to fight because, yeah, man, it don't make no sense. If we looking at his army records, this man is married to an old ass woman. This don't make no sense. I am trying to save you from a life of heartbreak and bumness. Come with me. Take my hand. Won't you take this poor sinner's hand?
No. And I feel like we never get, this isn't a spoiler, but we never get clarity on how the fight starts. But Dan probably was like, I know you're a scammer. Or who the fuck is Lillian or whatever her name is? What's her name?
Mm-hmm. Lillian? I think it was Lillian. That sounds right.
Yep. Her name is Lillian. Like, who the fuck is Lillian? He was like, don't you ever say that name to me. And swung at Dad and swung too broadly and missed. That's why he's gonna get his ass beat.
Dad was like, I'm going to take this time, this opportunity that God has placed on my fists and beat your ever-loving ass.
You know what it is? It's that man scenario of beating up the man who stole your love from you.
That fantasy. He's like, I don't want you to think that this is because, like, I'm a jaded lover. He's like, I'm still here for you. I'm still your friend. And I was like, girl, if you don't drop down on your knees and beg for his forgiveness, what is wrong with you?
He's insane.
a whole ass wife.
She looks dumb. Because she even tells Dan that Leo is ducking her. So you're literally, you expected me to believe that with all your faculties, you are choosing to be with the scammer, the violent scammer at that, over me.
I'm annoyed. I don't know how to feel about the situation.
And it's not even like he is a 2000 scammer where he actually is getting money. He's scamming and he broke. And you choosing that over me? Next scene.
So Rue walks into the pawn shop with Guy Fieri, and Guy Fieri's like, this shop is closed. And she was like, I know who the fuck you talking to. I'm Prue motherfucking Halliwell, bitch. And I'm going to take you fucking down if it's the last goddamn thing that I do. And I was just like, you know, I can understand why people don't want to talk, because I wouldn't want to leave Flavortown either, right? Like, choo-choo, we go to Flavortown.
You're so foolish.
She says that even if no one will ever testify against him, he's going to be haunted by his crime. And then on her way out, she like moves her finger and accordion like smashes him in the shoulder or whatever like that. And he was like, oh my God. But I was just like, Y'all would say to this man, he bleaches his hair in the back of the pawn shop and then takes the little burnt ass waves and makes, come get out of here. That's not believe. When I say down to the unbelievable villain, this is a Sunday night on ABC 7.
Ooh, you telling me this is that like 11:30 movie on a Saturday night on ABC?
Nah, it's the Sunday one that come on as like a special at 8 o'clock, so they stop playing everything that they would typically play at 8 so that you can come home from church and watch
it. It wouldn't be like the World of Disney. It would just be like,
it'd be like that made for TV. And if you don't catch it that night, you never go and see it again. It's one of them.
Y'all children will never know the joy that is the wonderful World of Disney at 7 p.m. on ABC.
It comes on Disney Family.
It's not the same.
It's not the same.
It's not the same.
But it still comes on. When she walks out of the pawn shop, Cletus and her lock eyes across.
She's like, I got you, black man. Why are you this way?
Lift every voice and sing. Till her
ring. I'm sick. I can't be doing this.
Wait. You gotta do the class, ring. Money's liberty. I'm sorry. Phoebe goes back to the library at night, and Charlene scares the shit out of her and startles her, and then they start having a conversation, and there is a black librarian, and she is giving Phoebe the dirtiest looks, and that's what we need mama to come and tell this bitch to shut the hell up. Like, the looks that she is giving her, and Phoebe is looking at her, giving her the dirty looks, and it's like, one, you sound crazy. Two, just shut the fuck up. Like, talk lower.
Well, if Charlene believes that she's real, or I mean, not real, but like still alive, lead her away from like the center of the room.
Right. It took her mad long to finally do that. Finally, she moves her into like where the bookshelves are.
Because like, she doesn't even look. She doesn't look panicked. She doesn't look anxious when, like, the librarian is giving her a dirty look. Like, this is weird.
And you like, know, Phoebe, you're the live one. You know that it looks weird because nobody else can see the ghost. So they go into the stacks, and Charlene doesn't believe that she's a ghost. Phoebe tries to tell her, like, to pick up a book, and she goes and, like, she hovers her hand over the book and then runs away. Oh my God, I can't do this.
And, I mean,
to where her stuff is. And it's been it hasn't been 24 hours yet because her test hasn't happened. But it's been a couple of hours. They didn't pick up her stuff for evidence. Nothing. Like, we didn't bag and tag. The school didn't pick it up.
They saw Morris talking to Phoebe, and they were like, oh, this one of his. He can clean this shit the fuck up.
Phoebe and Prue are in a sunroom, and Phoebe is basically giving Prue the download on what's happening with Charlene. And Prue feels like Charlene's spirit can't move on until she gets justice. And they're doing this over the Book of Shadows. Phoebe has found who the demon is. The demon is Libris. It's a demon who attacks humans who have found proof of demons. And where are the white lighters in this? Like, there was no alarm bells ringing that this guy is cutting off heads. The elders
didn't be like, hey, Phoebe, why he, like,
nothing.
Because, like, last week he was like, oh, y'all didn't defeat that man. That's why they jingled. This week, you're not saying nothing. Like, what's the problem, Bob?
Right. Like, I need y'all to be consistent. I need the elders to be consistent.
That's the problem of having a different writer every week instead of having, like, a central core of writers. Because guarantee, like, if they had, the same person from consistency. Last week. Yeah. But, yeah. You know, who needs consistency when you're telling a story?
Prue wants to do a true spell on Gibbs, and Phoebe's like, y'all don't remember when I was in flames, the flames up on the side of my face? Y'all don't remember that? We're not doing that.
No, because we expose magic all the fucking time.
They end up talking about Cletus and the pain that he has as a father, and she really wants to help him with his grief. And she's like, do you think Dad misses us? And she's like, I don't know. And I'm like, this man don't even send you guys birthday cards. Like, he don't even pick up the phone and call you.
Well, yeah, I think they were trying to make it deep. It's like, maybe, like, this father is affecting you because you actually see what a good dad is like, yada, yada, yada. And it's like,
pops up through the window. And it's like, I know that I'm dead now. I saw my funeral. Which is really quick. She is decapitated and they already gave her body over. I'm so confused with this timeline. She said that she never saw her father cry so much and did not think that he would cry so much over her. And I was like, everybody, the daddy issues is just in the air and it is thick. Like,
I mean, Jesus Christ. I watched that Modern Family clip of, like, Jay talk about feelings and, like, it was like, you know, men and their feelings. Brr.
So while all this is happening, Piper's like, I need to meet the bitch who fucked my man first. And we meet Lillian. And Lillian has all of these, like, love letters that Leo has written to her. We find out that he was awarded the Purple Heart after he died. We found out that he died. He was trying to be a doctor and he was helping somebody, a wounded soldier, and that's when he died. And she was like, his touch. He had the most marvelous touch.
And this is where his face. And this is where me and, like, Joe started, like, not bumping heads, but, like, I was looking at him sideways because why hasn't Leo talked about his past? Like, you were obviously good enough to be a white lighter. This is why they made you a white lighter. You're a scammer. You're a scumbag. You know in your heart of hearts you're not a good person. And every day you're just waiting for the white lighters to call you out on your shit. Because what are you hiding? Like, you... It's not like you're cheating on her or whatever. Like,
it's just weird. Like, why you obviously are older than her. You clearly have a past. Why are you dipping and dodging it? But he's a scammer.
And that, like, boy's a liar. I wish that they would just come out and this cast, it could just be one line of him saying, you know, I put that behind me when I decided to become a white lighter. It's too painful to hold on to those memories or think about my past life. I can't hold on to that and be a white lighter. I'm not saying it's a good line, but at least address it. Like, he doesn't address it. He fights Dan rather than addressing it. And then he never ever brings up his past life. Like, who taught you how to love? Am I the first bitch you loved? Like, come on. Like, what's happening here?
So this is where we find out that he went to Lillian in a bath of white light and was like, forget me. Let me go. Move on. Goodbye. And we find out that Lillian did meet somebody who was a doctor. So she is well off. She had children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And she remembers him fondly as well. And Piper's like, all right, well, I gotta go. You've given me everything that I need. Bye-bye. I guess. So Piper comes back to the manor, and as she's coming back to the manor, Charlene is still there, and she's explaining or trying to explain what happened right before she died. And Prue and Phoebe have decided that they are going to fight the demon, and then after they fight the demon, that they're going to go fight Cletus and or help Cletus and fight Guy Fieri. So... when they go to the library, they're looking at Charlene's notes, and Charlene is able to take Phoebe to the spot where she was taken. And Piper and Prue are like in the walkway, and it's Charlene and Phoebe. And Phoebe's like, I don't hear any noises. Why are y'all not prepared? Why y'all not prepared?
These girls never, we've been complaining about them being unprepared for how long?
Like, I feel like be like this, right? Like, ready to go.
So Piper should be there ready to freeze, to be honest. That's
like, ready to go. Oh, sorry, you guys can't see my hands. I was doing the freezing thing. Phoebe grabs the book and is like, she turns to the girls and she's like, oh, there's nothing here. There's no demon. Ha, 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 ha. And when she turns back, the demon's there and everybody's shell-shocked and Phoebe gets sucked into the orb, and Charlene's like, no, I won't let what happened to me happen to you. And she jumps into the thing too. And the other two girls are just standing there like, what the fuck just happened? Nobody came prepared. I am week after week, month after fucking goddamn month. This is why Aunt, see, that's why a couple weeks ago when she was like, he was like, you're the reason that Andy died.
Now, so I told you that's how depression works. That was the realest demon to ever be on this show. The depression demon. I know he's a dark lighter, but demon sounds better.
Phoebe, like, knocks her head against... There's always, like, random boxes. Just always just random boxes. Knocks her head against random boxes. He appears with a sickle and swings at Phoebe. And homegirl is like, absolutely not. And, like, they're tussling over the sickle. The girls can hear the screams upstairs. They're like, oh, they must be in the basement. Let's go run downstairs in the basement. Prue astral projects, and he tries to go and swing the sickle at Phoebe again, but it randomly gets caught in, like, some rope that's hanging from the wall. So when she astral projects, says the spell, he leaves the sickle behind. Now, if you had a spell ready, why you... Man, I'm over this shit. These girls suck.
So, Prue says her spell, does that, da-da-da-da-da. But, like, it also doesn't even make any sense that, like, the sickle gets left behind. Because if demons want to not expose magic, wouldn't this demonic sickle also disappear when its wielder disappears? But I don't know. Maybe I'm asking for too much.
Charlene and Phoebe go to say their goodbyes. Oh my God, thank you so much. I miss you. I'm sorry this happened to you. Goodbye. But she don't get the jingling. She don't get the jingling. And she gets stuck. So now you see we're back at the manor, and Piper and Phoebe are arguing over whether or not Piper said maybe she's here. Like, maybe she'll leave once we, you know, fix the reason why she got killed in the first place. And Phoebe's like, you didn't say maybe. And so it was a cute moment. It was a very cute moment. It was, I'm over it. I'm over this episode. She, Charlene, goes, well, maybe I didn't leave because your vanquishing spell didn't work. And I was like, you know what, Charlene?
Drag them hoes. She was there last week.
That's my note. I said with Charlene at the theater.
Yep. Charlene was there last week dealing with them hoes.
So she's pissed off. She ends up slapping a plate on the floor. And as she slaps this plate on the floor, the flyer with Tyra's face on it floats down and lands on the plate. And they're like, oh, maybe Charlene didn't go to heaven or become a white lighter or whatever she's meant to do because she was supposed to get help for Tyra. And I was like, really? Really? That's how we're going to connect this?
And if they were to do it that way, matter of fact, we'll get into that segment when we get there. Okay.
So he opens up his shop and the flyer is stuck in the door. He takes the flyer and he throws it away. Charlene comes in and obviously he can't see Charlene, but she comes in, she locks the door and she turns the closed sign out. So now it says closed instead of open. He picks up a gun because he's like, what the fuck is going on? And I would have done the same. This shit don't make any sense. She starts like taunting him. She starts playing on the guitar. He shoots at the guitar. And then she starts typing Tyra, 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 Tyra on a typewriter. And he is freaked the fuck out. She takes the flyer, crumples it up and shoves it in his mouth. And she's like, I'm going to haunt you if you don't confess to having killed her. He gets up, he runs through the closed door, like he crashes through the glass door and he falls on the floor and he admits when he falls on the floor that yes, I indeed
killed her. Well, he falls outside of the shop.
Yeah.
And so he falls outside of the shop on the sidewalk and as he confesses, he said he confesses in front of Daryl and the girl's father, and justice is finally served. Just has to
magically walk up there exactly at this point.
No, it's definitely some shit that they just, for whatever reason, felt the need to cut out. But the plan was that her and Prue, and then we're gonna like Prue was gonna grab Daryl and have him there, and she was gonna taunt this man. It was all that behind the scenes shit that we missed that should have actually been discussed to fill out this episode a little bit more, but whatever. Like I said last week, there's no love interest chemistry. How will we handle the... We're not done with this episode yet? No. Oh, damn. I thought so we were.
Confession on tape. Cletus is grateful, but it doesn't bring her back or take away the fact that, you know, he's still grieving her. And then they start playing Sunday morning church music. And I was like, this is the part. What was that movie with the Sandra Bullock and the black guy? And Sandra Blind Bullock. Side? Yeah! That's what this felt like. That's what this felt like. And then we look and Charlene gets the jingle jingle and she's able to move on. So now we're finally at the last scene because I know you're over it. The Goo Goo Dolls are playing at P3. We find out that Phoebe announced Phoebe aced her final. Yay. She said that because of Charlene dying, she was able to kind of like relieve some of that pressure because obviously there's bigger things in life. She did sign the dad's birthday card, but Prue did not. And Leo was able to get in because he never told the bouncer that he no longer works there. Piper asked Leo why he ain't tell her about the wife. And she's like, I'm not mad, but I wish that you would be more open with me. And he's like, I didn't want you to be hurt. I didn't want you. How would I be hurt? You've been supposedly dead for decades. Why would I be hurt? Man, and then he's
part of your story. That's why it's right. Also very weird. It's part of your story. Like, you love this person, like, what the fuck?
So I just want to say, while this scene is happening, they're playing Broadway is Dark Tonight, and whoever edited the music did a perfect job. So the first thing that they zoom in on is See the young man sitting in the old man's bar waiting for his turn to die. And then he also zooms in on, you see you'd love to run home, but you know you ain't got one. It's like shots.
You're right. They don't got... The driver the point home that he's broke.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They also did The Cowboy Kills the Rock Star and Friday Night's Gone Too Far. And I was like, see, that's talking about you getting your ass whipped by Dan. I thought that was cute. And that's, he asked her, how much does Dan know? And she said she's not sure. But the fact that nobody's concerned that Dan was able to get your records and none of it lines Dan, up or makes sense.
He has, his brother-in-law works at the State Department. So his
He got the records, but the fact that, like, he's like, this man is lying to you. He's either A, scamming you, or, like, it don't make sense. Because if Leo is saying who Leo is, then this man should be, like, in his 70s. Mm. Well, that's it.
That's, again, that's another problem. I feel like it's not prestige television, so it's not like the same writer is coming up with a story or whatever. It's not like Breaking Bad or Better Call Saul or whatever. It's it's Bob coming in on Friday and then Theo coming in on Saturday and then Samantha coming in on Sunday. Like, it's just too many hands touching it, because that's a good storyline in itself, because you have the records, but you don't have a photo.
Mm-hmm.
They could have played out, you know, I'm waiting. He said he can get the photo. That's taking a little longer. And that could have been a cliffhanger. We're like, what? This is episode, I sound especially like nasally right now, so I gotta wrap this up. This is what, episode 19? We're so close to the season finale. This is something that you could have stretched out a little longer. This part of the storyline, at least. Stretch it out to, like, what? I don't remember how many episodes in here. I think it's, what, 22? So, yeah, wrap this up. Give this another one. Wrap this up in 20. But it's, I know. Anyway.
We're just trying to get to season 3, where everything starts to line up.
Yes. Like I was saying earlier, there's no love interest chemistry until season 3. How would you handle the conflict in this episode?
Personally, I'm the queen of chaotic. I am not chaotic neutral or good. I am chaotic evil, and I stand for that. I would have let Dan whoop that man's. I would have sat on the P3 stairs and been like, may the best man win.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think I probably would have. I definitely would have taken Dan more seriously, because that's a real. At least for Leo, like, again, that don't make no sense. It is your job to make sure that magic don't get exposed. But instead of, like, trying to finesse a situation, you just start fighting this man. Whatever.
And the elders allowed it. The elders were like, damn, this man getting his jaw rocked.
You know what? Oh. They've been pissing. Him and Piper been pissing me off for the longest time. You know what? Be some sense into him. Get him. You remember, this is definitely from Love and Hip Hop Atlanta, but this is when, like, Jocelyn was beating up Stevie J and Mimi was like, hit him again, hit him once for me. That's what the elders was like. Tweaks I would make in the episode, I would definitely establish Phoebe and Charlene's relationship a little bit more fleshed out. Because, again, Phoebe is so blatant with her, like, talk of magic.
Didn't make any sense.
Yeah, that should have been fleshed out a lot better.
This should have been her time to shine. And she getting up and leaving. It was just... The continuity error is just... I think if you're watching, like, casually, obviously it's not a big deal. Like, when you watch it, you know, early in the morning or something like that, it's not that big of a deal. But when you're watching it, like, week after week, you're like, wait a minute, this don't make no sense.
This don't make no sense, yeah. So the A story is Charlene. The B story is Clevant, I guess.
And then the C story
is Dan and Piper. I don't even know how much more you can put on, like, the hurt black man, the aggrieved black man. Yeah, it's just weird.
He told Piper. Like that whole scene where they were like walking up.
Him with the umbrella, it was giving me Civil Rights March.
Wade in the water.
Anyway, I'm rating this 2.5 out of 10 funny Daryl moments. Because Daryl was on his shit. He was like, I know there's something. I know this is demonic. I know this is up your alley. Just let me know what it is. Mm-hmm, every time white women come around, it's demons and gobbledygooks. Just let me know what's going on. Some motherfucking playing with me.
I'm going to rate this. And I'm only rating this a little bit higher because it had the Goo Goo Dolls on it. So I'm going to rate it. So you got it right.
I'm right, going to rate it. Is it 3.5 out of 5 Daryl moments?
I'm going to rate it 4 Edmund Pettus's bridges for the civil rights movement. Get in good trouble, guys.
With that, I am going to go lay down because some witches be hoes and some witches be sick.